Chapter 13. I never knew it could be so strange. Oz peered into the classroom. Free this period. He sniffed. No one hiding in here. We're good. Rose wrinkled her nose. That's weird. No, it's not. Willow brushed some imaginary lint off of Oz's shoulders. It's useful and endearing. Rose sighed. No, not like that. I mean, look at you. A witch and a werewolf? And just last week, the doctor and me, we... She broke off, putting her hands in front of her lips to push the words back inside. Willow started booting up one of the computers. You and the doctor, what? Oz looked Rose over. You killed a werewolf, right? Yes. Rose winced. Sorry. Oz shrugged. It was kill or be killed, probably, right? Rose nodded. It happens. Oz pulled up a chair and looked over Willow's shoulder. Rose stood behind them. But how do you just accept things like that? Willow began investigating the new system. Oh, live on a hellmouth a few years, you get used to things. You see, friends get killed, you learn that werewolves aren't evil and are actually really good kissers. You find out that vampires with souls can be your friend, and then you find out they can lose their souls and they put all of your tropical fish on a string in an envelope in your bed for you to find. Oz placed a comforting hand on her shoulder. Basically, the lines of good and evil move around a lot in our lives. You killed one werewolf because you had to, that's okay. Just don't make a habit of it, added Oz. Willow, check out the network server. Yeah, that's new. Willow clicked and got a password prompt. What's that? Rose leaned in. Well, it's a network server, apparently connected to every computer in the school. It must be new. Miss Callender really wanted to install one, but Snyder never gave her the money. Willow opened another program. And who are those people? Snyder is the principal of the school, who's strangely MIA this week. Willow bit her lip as she concentrated. Oz stood and looked around the room for a server cabinet. Miss Callender was our old computer teacher. She was killed last year. Is this the bad stuff last spring you people keep not telling me about? Rose took Oz's seat. Yeah. Willow persisted in not explaining it. Oz, how long do you think brute forcing a 37-digit alphanumeric will take a 200 megahertz Pentium? Oz leaned his head against a closet door. Oh, I'm not sure. 3 weeks? Or maybe years? How much memory do we have? Willow pushed back from the desk. Doesn't matter. We're going to have to figure out a different way. Rose dangled a sonic screwdriver in front of her. Here we go. Willow examined the device. What's that? Sonic screwdriver. Rose enunciated the name clearly, unconsciously imitating the old doctor. And that can solve a 37-digit alphanumeric password by what? Cleaning the computer's teeth? Willow frowned. Rose adjusted the settings. Don't know about teeth, but it's very good at opening things. She applied the screwdriver to the computer, and within a few seconds, the server files were open. Willow's jaw hung ajar. That's not just Sonic! How does it work? No idea. It's Sonic. That's what he tells me. That's what I know. Oz held out his hand, and Rose handed it to him. He pressed a few buttons, then pointed it at the cabinet he'd been banging his head against earlier. The doors popped open, and the server racks were revealed. I want one, he announced. Rose held out her hand, and he surrendered it. You'll have to take that up with the doctor. He's a little attached to it. I was stunned he gave it up to me. Her cheeks reddened. This sonic screwdriver, that is. Willow gave her a sly smile. Sure it is. So, do you know what this stuff is? The screen flooded with green symbols. Rose shook her head. Nothing. It means nothing to me. Oz peered at the screen. I've seen some of these symbols. Remember when we researched Akathla? Oh, you're right. Willow pointed. That one's definitely in a couple of the old demon books. Can you read them? Rose gave the seat back to Oz. No. Oz slowly pointed out an icon on the toolbar, and Willow gasped. Oh, no! What? What's wrong? This program's running on the entire server. Willow clicked open a new window and read. On over 600 computers. That's more than half the school. When did we get over 600 computers? Oz shook his head, not knowing. And does this mean what I think it means? Oz read the command lines. They've locked down the school. Rose's eyes widened. We're trapped? The pair nodded. Just then, Buffy and the doctor arrived in the lab. Buffy looked at their stunned faces. What? What's going on? Rose reacted first, indicating his jaw. Doctor, you've got a bruise. Oh, yeah. He shrugged and tilted his head from side to side. Minor disagreement. We're past that now. Buffy's eye roll belied the statement. Anything else? The Krillitanes have locked us all in and jacked most of the students into this. Willow pushed back from the desk, inviting the doctor to examine the screen. Any ideas? The doctor pulled out his glasses. Oh my, oh dear. Buffy leaned in to peer at the screen. What? The Time Lord didn't notice her comment, muttering under his breath. The only words the rest of them could discern was, they wouldn't. Apparently they would, countered Oz. The doctor looked up at him, drawn out of his hyper-concentration. Rose took his arm. What is it, doctor? It's the Skasis paradigm. They're using this place to crack the Skasis paradigm.
The Skasis what?
Buffy turned her head upside down at the screen, but it still didn't make any more sense to her. It's the God-maker, and not just little witch gods, but the big, omnipotent kind. The doctor ran a hand through his hair. The Skasis paradigm is the theory of everything, and not just that, the theory of subatomic manipulation. Figure out that equation, and the rules of the universe are yours to bend at will. Time and space and matter are yours to control. Willow nodded. And the Krillitanes are using the students as a kind of independent floating point? Yes, exactly. The oil greases the neurons, works as a conducting agent, accelerates your thinking, makes you a lot cleverer. The doctor stood up straight. Rose folded her arms. But why use them? Why not go to some school with the hyper-smart? She held up a hand. No offense. The three students smiled. None taken. The doctor took off his spectacles, a look of horror dawning upon his face. It's not just your brains. It's your imaginations, endless creativity. Buffy smirked. Well, it takes a lot to keep on denying the supernatural. But the doctor was looking into space. They're using your very souls to pull this off. On the word soul, Buffy's face hardened. Well then, we can't have that. But we're only borrowing them. The group spun around to see Brother Lassa leaning against the door jamb, wearing an expression of triumph on Giles' face. He folded his hands in front of him and addressed the group, but especially the doctor. Let the lesson begin. Chapter 14. School Days Insane. As they moved through the school, unimpeded by hall monitors or counselors or teachers of three periods, Cordelia and Xander looked into the classrooms they passed by. The distinct lack of faculty presence continued, while all of the students typed furiously. When did every class turn into a computer lab? And where did the rest of the teachers go? Cordelia ducked back down. Dunno. Must be part of the terrible plot. Xander pulled her along, and they arrived at the principal's office. Hello? The word echoed through an empty administrative office. Cordelia moved forward stiffly. Mrs. Stinson?
Mrs. Stinson?
Mouthed Xander. Cordelia rolled her eyes. She's the main secretary. She got me an exception to get parking pass sophomore year after I found her new Tiffany bracelet. Cordelia moved around the desk. No one here. Xander drummed his fingers on the counter. This is bad. This is very bad. He eyed Principal Snyder's door. Do we go in?
Just a second.
Cordelia ran her fingers along the desk calendar. Looks like all the teachers got called to a special staff meeting this morning. Room 237. She stood, staring at the door with Xander. Taking a deep breath, she grabbed his hand. Let's do this. Right. They moved forward, and Xander rapped once on the door, to no response. Sharing a glance with Cordy, he tried the handle, and the door swung open with a creak. His closet's shaking, pointed out Cordelia. Xander nodded. Yeah, I can see that. Cordelia looked back at the empty office. If he's tied up, can we just leave him there? It's a thought. A muffled shout came out of the closet. Right. He knows we're here. We should let him out if we ever want to graduate. Xander pulled the handle, and there he found Giles and Snyder tied together, black bags over their heads. Xander pulled the bag off of Giles' head, and the glare subsided as he removed the gag. Whoa, Giles, good to see you. How long have you been locked up? More than a week, Xander. Possibly two. Giles spat the words out. And how long have you had this company? Cordelia showed a distinct reluctance to approach Snyder, whose muffled screams of, Let me out! Were increasing in frequency. The last 2 days. I assume the latest diabolical plans have swung into full gear. I don't think you're wrong. Xander found a letter opener on Snyder's desk and began picking at the knots. Cordelia shut the door and took a lookout position, while Snyder's fury continued. Oh, will you shut up, or else I will knock you out again! Giles shouted, and Snyder simmered down some. Do you know what we're facing? A small grin crept across Xander's face. You wouldn't believe me if I told you. The doctor said they're called Krillitanes. Confused, Giles asked, Krillitanes? And who is this doctor? Really cute alien guy. They're all fighting the bat aliens with Buffy now. Cordelia smiled. Snyder snorted, and Giles tilted his head. See, told you that you wouldn't believe us. Xander finished with the knots, and the ropes fell free from the two men. Snyder ripped the bag off his head and the gag out of his mouth, as Giles rose unsteadily to his feet. You're telling me that bat aliens have taken over my school, Harris? The venom in Snyder's voice made Xander want to take a step back. That's right, and you hired them. Cordelia stood between the principal and her boyfriend. I can just imagine how much fun the PTA and the school board will have with this one. I know my father is going to be concerned. Snyder's eyes shifted across the room, and he ran to his chair, pulling the phone off its cradle. You're insane, all of you, ranting about bat aliens. He dialed the number, but the line was dead. Thwarted, he replaced it. And you'd like to give us an alternative reason for why you and Giles were tied up together in the closet? Xander pointed to the ropes, and Snyder blanched. Was it really necessary to go there? Moaned Giles. Cordelia rolled her eyes and leaned onto the desk. Principal Snyder, if I were you, I would try to minimize the damage. Find your employees. All of your staff is missing, along with most of the teachers. Gonna be hard to control the student body without them. She leaned further in. I suggest you start with room 237. Snyder leaned away from her in his chair, and finally gave her a curt nod. Xander pulled her back as Giles looked at her with newfound respect. And on that note, we're gonna go. Xander motioned to Giles, and they headed out. Cordelia smiled broadly. Good luck with all this. We won't mention the bondage if you won't. Out of Snyder's office, Giles pinched the bridge of his nose. Are the faculty all really missing? Where is Buffy? Xander began walking towards the math wing. Yes, and off finding the big bad. We should meet up with Willow first. So what happened to you? Oh, the traditional application of blunt object to the back of my head. Woke up in the closet. Never got a good look at them. Giles popped his neck. Aliens, you say? Yeah, the latest twist in Hellmouth villains. And also in Good Guys. You'll like the Doctor. A little less so with the bottle blonde, muttered Cordelia. Her name's Rose, Cordy. snapped Xander. She's human, but she's been very nice and very helpful. The last part of the remark was directed at Cordelia, who only glared at Xander in return. Ah, I see. Giles wiggled his toes in his shoes, letting circulation return and wishing that he had his glasses. It came to a halt outside a computer lab door. Xander, I'm rather afraid that I've taken a worse knock than usual. Xander stood next to him. Oh, yeah, forgot to mention that. The leader guy took your form. That's why it took us so long to notice you were missing, Cordelia shrugged. Sorry about that. Giles watched his form through the window. Quite all right. Chapter 15. The Nature of My Game. The doctor took a protective step in front of the group as Lassa continued. Think of it, Doctor. With the paradigm solved, reality becomes clay in our hands. We can shape the universe and improve it. Buffy snorted. A whole universe of giant bats? Sorry, I'm going to stick with my classic good looks. Lassa gave her a condescending smile. Yes, but for how long, Slayer? You assume that we'll use this power for domination, but imagine the good we can do. The doctor laughed disbelievingly. What? By someone like you? No, Doctor. By someone like you. The doctor took a step back. Willow, Rose, and Oz, who'd been edging towards the door, froze. The paradigm gives us power, but you could give us wisdom. Imagine pushing the old ones out of this dimension and civilizations and lives that you could save. The victims of the demon petty wars, even your own people, Doctor. The Time Lords, guarding the universe from the chaos beyond, reborn. Buffy looked at the doctor. Don't listen to him. It's a trick. The werewolf, freed of his curse, and you, Slayer, you could have that normal life you've always desired, the weight of the world off your shoulders. Perhaps with that vampire lover you're hiding in that mansion, made whole and human, untortured by memories of his victims, or of the hell that you sent him to. Willow and Oz's eyes widened. Angel's back! Gasped Willow. Buffy couldn't bring herself to look at her. Lassa addressed Rose. You could remain with him for eternity, young and angelus. Their lives are so fleeting, so many goodbyes. How very lonely you must be, Doctor. But unnecessarily so. Join us and mend the universe. The doctor's voice came out dry and raspy. I could save everyone. Lassa's smile became nearly genuine. Yes. I could stop the war, get rid of the gods and demons. He looked down at Buffy, and then at Rose's terribly young, terribly human face. Willow was shaking her head. We have to change. We have to grow. Without the pain, without the loss, we're not human. Buffy nodded. No one should have that power. Things change, people die. I'll always fight against it, but that kind of power, that's wrong. Oz licked his lip and clutched Willow's hand. To everything there is a season. Everything ends. The doctor looked at the teens who'd faced so much loss, for whom the answer was so clear, but so horrible. But Rose's agonized expression told him all he needed to know. With a roar, he grabbed a chair and threw it across the room, smashing into the server rack. Lassa ducked to avoid the chair. Out! Screamed the doctor, hustling the rest of them out the door. They immediately ran into Xander, Cordelia, and someone who could only possibly be Giles. Buffy threw her arms around him in a hug, almost knocking him over. What's going on? Asked Xander. Cordelia pointed down the hallway. Are those our teachers? The pack of Krillitanes stalked towards them. Yeah, sorry, run! The doctor took off in the other direction as everyone else followed him. Buffy pulled the knife she'd picked up the last night out of her belt and brandished it at the Krillitane behind him, slashing its wing and causing it to let out a ghastly shriek. It lunged at her, and she buried the knife in its eye, grabbed it by the talons, and threw it into its companions, barreling them backwards. She caught up with the others as they rushed into an empty classroom. The doctor locked the door with a sonic screwdriver, while Xander and Oz shoved a cabinet in front of it. Still, the shrieks and claws of the Krillitanes against the doors rattled on Buffy's nerves as she panted and recovered. "What now, Doctor? I'm out of knives, and they're angry." She hobbled towards Giles while the doctor paced.
"Those were aliens!" exclaimed Giles.
Willa nodded. "Yeah, it's been a long week. We've missed you."
"What do we know about these guys?" asked Oz.
"They look like giant bats," supplied Xander.
"They're fast, and the claws are sharp," provided Willow.
"Their breath is really bad," mentioned Buffy. "Like bowels and brut. I think they've been eating people."
"The oil in the kitchens, they couldn't touch it. One of the ladies got burned horribly when it spilled," added Rose.
The doctor grabbed his companion.
"That's right, the oil! The Krillitanes have evolved so rapidly, their own oil is toxic to them. How much was in the kitchen?"
"Barrels," replied Rose and Xander simultaneously.
Everyone jumped at the sound of shattered glass, and claws began to scrabble through the cracks between the door and the cabinet. Buffy moved to brace it.
"Okay, we need to get to the kitchens."
The doctor bit his lip, looking at the rope burns on the librarian's wrists.
"Giles, nice to meet you, the real you. But how fast are you moving right now?"
A small smile crossed Giles' face.
"Not terribly fast, I'm afraid, and I'd really like to use a bathroom."
Buffy shook her head.
"He's coming with me wherever I go."
As Giles and the doctor started to object, Buffy stamped her foot.
"I just got you back. I am not letting you out of my sight now."
"Right. We'll split up evenly. Xander, Cordelia, Willow, Oz, I need you to get the students unplugged from the computers then. Get the doors open and evacuate the school."
He cast his eyes around. "How do we get the bats away from the door?"
Buffy shrugged, then pushed back against the cabinets as the alien shoved at them.
"I don't know, just hurry!"
"Bats, you say?" Giles pushed off the table and stumbled over to the wall, where he pulled the fire alarm. The struggles on the other side of the door stopped, and the wails of the Krillitanes pierced through the shrill ringing.
The doctor smiled. "Nice. Now, everyone, run!"
Buffy pulled the cabinet back, and they all scrambled out the door.
Chapter 16. Code Monkey, like you.
By the time the ringing cut out, Willow and the others had locked themselves inside of a classroom full of students, all completely zoned into the paradigm code. Xander and Cordelia tried snapping and clapping in front of their faces, but to no avail.
"There must be another server running the program."
Willow looked around, but nothing in this classroom appeared to be a server.
"Oz, take that free workstation, see if you can shut off the lockdown."
Oz nodded and slipped behind the computer.
Cordelia threw her hands in the air. "Well, short of flashing the guys, I've tried everything I can think of."
"Could you try it?" Willow and Cordy both glared at Xander. Oz just quirked an eyebrow.
"Maybe not."
"Right. Okay, you two, I'm going to try to figure out a way to shut down the program. Even if Oz takes care of the central security, they've probably locked the gates. Go and see if you can find a way to get the gates open."
Cordelia grabbed Xander's hand. "We're on it."
Xander turned back at the door.
"Be careful."
"Yeah, you too."
Willow whimpered as she looked around.
"If I were a master control server, where would I be?"
"Not in here," muttered Oz.
"Yeah, that seems to be the case." Willow looked over his shoulder.
"How goes the security system?"
"Remarkably complex. Could definitely use a sonic screwdriver."
Oz turned his head toward her.
"I'll get it, though. You should get on the server problem."
"Right."
Willow frowned, then saw the cables leading out of the computers.
"Gotcha!"
Following the wires, she found a central plug leading to a small transformer.
"If I short this out, it should take the rest of the school with it?"
Oz looked up.
"Yeah, that should about do it."
He sat back down. "Give me 5 more minutes." Willow nodded, then snuck out of the bathroom across the hall. When she returned, she had a bucket full of water.
"How are we doing?"
Oz slammed the return button down.
"We're good. Let's go."
Willow splashed the water onto the transformer, and there was a loud pop, a crackle of electricity, and a lot of smoke as all the lights and computers winked off.
"Ooh,
Ooh, cool. The students pushed back from the desks in a daze. Oz pointed and shouted, "Fire! Everyone get out!" Everyone began rushing out of the room, and Willow allowed herself a satisfied smile. But Oz grabbed her by the elbow and pointed again. "Oh, no, real fire! Shoot!" Nearly slipping on the water, she and Oz fled. Chapter 17. Out the Back Door. Xander used a fire extinguisher to break open one of the lobbied windows. He cleared the glass off the edges, then offered Cordelia his hand. "After you, madame." After she daintily escaped through, he clambered out. They ran through the courtyard, then stopped short as they found Snyder at the gates. Xander scowled. "Oh, not you again." Snyder turned on them in panic. "We've been locked in. I can't find any of the teachers. My keys don't work and the phones have been cut." He palmed his face. "What do we do?" Cordelia took Snyder's shoulders in her hands and gently shook him. "You, hand me the keys. Sometimes it takes a woman's touch." Snyder tilted his head at her. "Really?" Cordelia gave him a warm smile and held out her hand. "Really?" Snyder turned suspicious. "I shouldn't do this." "You also shouldn't let your school fall under the control of a group of bat monsters. But do this one thing for me, and no one will ever need to know." Cordelia's smile turned stony, and Snyder handed her the keys. "Thanks." She turned to Xander. "Give me a boost, and no peeking." Xander helped push Cordelia over the fence. "What's she doing?" demanded Snyder. Her voice called over the wall. "These are for a 91 Civic, right?" Snyder's eyes widened and he screamed back. "What? I own a 91 Civic. What are you doing?" Xander held down his bile long enough to place a comforting hand on Snyder's shoulder. "I hope you're not too attached. Cordelia has a way with cars." At Snyder's withering glance, he withdrew the hand. "Still, if I were you, I'd step back." After a minute, the roar of a four-cylinder engine grew closer, then crashed through the gates. Snyder blanched. "She's going to have to pay for that." Xander smirked. "Probably time you upgraded anyway." Cordelia reversed the engine and pulled out of the wreckage. "Now help me move these gates out of the way." After a moment, Snyder began pulling at the twisted metal. Just as he and Xander finished clearing a path, students began pouring out of the building. Cordelia returned, tossing the keys at Snyder, and insinuated herself under Xander's arm. Xander kissed her cheek as their classmates rushed by. "I love it when a plan comes together," he growled. Cordelia held him a bit tighter. After a moment, she pulled away, pointing. "Is that smoke?" They turned to each other. "Willow!" Snyder hissed. "Summers!" Xander shrugged and turned his palms to the air. "Okay, you've got us. The odds are about even." Chapter 18. Chelsea Dagger. With Buffy under one of Giles' arms and Rose under the other, the doctor headed toward the kitchens. As they entered, the alarm bell cut off. Buffy looked back as she and Rose shrugged Giles off. "I really hope they decide to follow us." Giles leaned against a counter, panting. "Funny, not the thing I'm really hoping for right now." Rose showed the doctor the drums of oil. "It's this stuff, in here." She handed him the sonic screwdriver, which he pointed at the barrel. When it didn't open, he slammed his fist on it. "Damn! They're deadlock sealed!" Rose watched him, confused. "Wait, no, the sonic screwdriver can open anything." He let out a growl. "Anything but a deadlock seal." Buffy came over to join the conference. "What's the problem?" Rose scratched her head. "We can't get the barrels open." "Oh, right." Buffy gripped the lip of the barrel. "You two might want to step back." Rose's eyes widened. "There's just no way." But with a metallic squeak, Buffy pulled the top clean off. "How many barrels are we going to need?" The doctor shut his jaw with a click. Maybe two?" He couldn't help but stare as she tore the second lid off.
What are we doing with them? Should I just pull a Dorothy Wicked Witch of the West type thing? The doctor and Rose looked at each other, arms folded. Rose nodded quickly. Yeah, that will do just fine. They goggled while Buffy took a drum in each hand and positioned herself by the door. Giles smiled weakly. Buffy's plans tend toward the simple, but effective. I'm not simple, Buffy yelled back. Just like to make things easy, she pouted. The doctor shook himself out of his shock. You call ripping open a deadlocked seal, then throwing around a couple 100 pounds of krillitane oil, easy? Buffy nodded. Yeah, I do. Slang isn't all about the high drama, you know. Sometimes it's about good old-fashioned ass-kicking. Hand me that cleaver. Rose blinked at her, looked at the unbelieving doctor, then grabbed the knife off the wall and handed it to Buffy. Buffy took a chef's knife for herself, while Giles picked up a broom he dipped in the oil. She offered a similar blade to the doctor, who just shook his head. The lead group of krillitanes burst through the door, and Buffy threw the barrel, drenching 7 of them, who shrieked and squealed in agony, melting into the floor. 2 were only spattered, and Buffy swung the cleaver at aliens. Aliens! Rose and Giles charged as the doctor stood back, alarmed. When Buffy hacked off the first one's head, while Rose and Giles held the others back, he grabbed a heavy pot and headed into the fray. Buffy, next group's coming! Buffy straightened out. Thanks! Dropping the cleaver, she grabbed the second barrel. Lassa stood at its head, surveying the carnage. You horrible, stupid girl! Stop calling me stupid! With a grunt, she splashed the second group with the oil, killing Lassa instantly and mutilating the others. Hoisting the cleaver, she decapitated the other 3, putting them out of their misery. Buffy turned around and saw Rose plunging her knife into the krillitane's chest while Giles and the doctor distracted it. The threat eliminated, Buffy slumped onto the counter and dropped the cleaver. Are you okay? Asked Rose. Buffy's hair concealed her face. I'm covered with krillitane oil and krillitane gore, none of which is ever going to come out. Rose looked at her own clothes, also covered in gore and oil. She and Buffy shared a look and a laugh. Giles offered Buffy a hand and she stood. Which means that you're going to be fine. Apocalypse averted. Giles frowned. Was it an apocalypse this time? The doctor shrugged. Very well could have been the end of the world as we know it. Giles smiled. Oh, good. After spending 2 days tied to Principal Snyder, I was sort of hoping. Buffy leaned into him, and together they hobbled towards the door. Rose turned a glance at the doctor. You just attacked a giant bat with a sauce pot. The doctor held up the offending implement, then tossed it on the counter. Yes. Well, as I think Buffy just showed us, sometimes it's smart to improvise. I've never seen you gut an alien with a knife before either. Very visceral. Rose bit her lip with a grin, replacing the knife in the sink. I think Buffy's contagious. Throwing his arm around her shoulders, the 2 followed the Slayer and her watcher. Well, that'll be useful the next time we run into a deadlock seal. Chapter 19. The wise cracks won't make you more stable. The courtyard was chaos, students everywhere, the fire department working to douse the flames. Rose and the doctor found Buffy and the rest huddled on the steps. The doctor waved. Ah, fine work, everyone. Who started the fire? Willow raised her hand. That would be me. I ran Principal Snyder's car through the front gates, Cordelia said with a grin. Xander joined in. Oh, I smashed a window. Rose grinned. This is everything I used to wish I could do to my school. Oz nodded. One of these days, we'll really blow it up good. Snyder appeared then, sputtering in fury. You! He pointed at Buffy. And you! He turned to Cordelia. And you! He settled on Willow. And me! The doctor stuck his hands on his hips and swiveled on them. What's all this bluster about? These These miscreants have destroyed school property and probably were responsible for the kidnapping and unlawful imprisonment of most of the faculty, not to mention the disappearance of 12 other members of our staff. This time, Summers, the expulsions are gonna stick. The doctor chuckled. Oh, I don't think so. I think these students courageously stopped an attack of arsonists who'd previously disabled the fire alarm and managed to warn and evacuate the entire student body. And who exactly do you think you are to say all this? Substitute? The last word was spat out. Rose saw the twinkle in the doctor's eye and stepped away from him. Have you ever heard of a unit? Snyder's eyes narrowed. No. Marvelous bunch. One phone call, that's all it will take. They'll swarm into this town like locusts and conduct a thorough investigation. Anyone they find complicit in this little ordeal, anyone who, say, harbored and hired an alien threat, endangering the lives of hundreds and the very existence of this planet, why, those kinds of people disappear. Quickly, quietly, and permanently. The doctor waved a hand in the air. Who knows what other phenomena they'll find in a town like this? His voice lowered. Sunnydale seems to like keeping a low profile when it comes to its little eccentricities. Do you really want to be responsible for bringing that kind of international attention here? Snyder stood very still. After a few long moments, he muttered, "The mayor wouldn't approve." I had a feeling he might not. The doctor smiled, the fury in his eyes belying it. So why don't you offer your thanks to these heroes? He pointed his head. Go on. You know you can do it. Snyder muttered something that sounded like, "Nicken Summers," before turning abruptly and marching away. Nice chap. Wondered why the Krillitames didn't just eat him. Rose snorted. They were merciless, obviously. The Scoobies stared at the doctor. You made Snyder thank Buffy. Willow's mouth was agape. Xander pinched himself. I've been in a spaceship, and I've watched Snyder thank Buffy. Did we get transported to some alternate universe? Giles looked the doctor in the eye. I think, sir, that you frighten me. The doctor looked away from the group. Buffy went to stand in front of him. You're keeping our secret, right? Is that what you want? The doctor drew his hand in a circle. You fight in secret, alone, while these people ignore the dangers they face every night, dying. Rose came to his side. The power here, we found it, we were drawn to it. The Krillitans found it. There will be more. You could have help. Giles shook his head as Buffy sighed. I have help. I had your help. Thank you. She turned to the doctor. And thank you. We couldn't have saved everyone without you both. Giles smiled. Yes, she's right. And we've all learned something new today. I think, doctor, that we should have an exchange of information. After all, serendipity brought you here when we first faced an alien threat. We wouldn't want to be caught off guard when we face the next. And Buffy tells me you didn't know of demons before you arrived. Well, we have a wealth of information on them. He went to remove his glasses, before realizing he still didn't have them. We are none of us alone, Doctor. Even if we fight separately, we may still work together. The doctor nodded. I think that works. The weary group moved to leave the campus, all leaning on each other. Rose and the doctor lingered behind, watching the aftermath unfurl. As the Sunnydale group moved ahead, Rose caught more whispers from them, this time of the angel that Willow had mentioned, and wondered if the mysterious terrors of last spring were coming to haunt them again. She squeezed the doctor's hand, he leaned on her, and they stepped forward. Chapter 20. What comes is better than what came before. Angel melted into the shadows, away from the shouting that had less to do with him now and more to do with deeper issues, and slunk away to the garden. Buffy's new friends sat by the stone pool, taking turns shattering the reflection of the moon with pebbles.
"You have two heartbeats," he murmured. The two twisted around. The man's twin hearts recovered their pace first. "And you don't have any." He sprung to his feet, putting on a pair of glasses and pulling a cylindrical object out of his jacket pocket. Then he pointed at Angel's chest. "Unbelievable!" The girl backed up to the pool, her pulse still rapid. "He doesn't have the ridges like the one in the cemetery." Angel tried not to flinch as the man continued to point the flashing light at him. "Come now, Rose, calm down. It's clear that this is the mysterious Angel." He removed the glasses. "She's in love with a vampire. Gotta love the universe." The man held out a hand. "I'm the doctor." Angel frowned, sniffing. You seem familiar." It was the doctor's turn to frown, and he scratched his head. "Do I? From when? Time traveling, it can really make garden party introductions awkward." He held a finger to his lips. "But don't tell me, it ruins the fun." "But that would make you over 200 years old," said Angel. The doctor pointed a finger. "And same to you. We're both looking pretty good for our ages." Rose guffawed. "But you dated Buffy! She's only 17. That's just weird." Angel eyed the two. "Really?" They took an infinitesimal step apart. Pursing her lips, Rose dared to move a bit closer to Angel. "So why are you skipping out on the fireworks inside? Shouldn't you be in there sorting things out?" "It's easier without me here." Rose shrugged. "Easier on her or easier on you?" Angel closed his eyes as he shook his head. "They'll never forgive me. They shouldn't. But they should forgive her." "What did you do, exactly, that's so unforgivable?" The doctor's tone was droll when he looked at the sonic screwdriver like it was lying to him. He shook it, held it to his ear, held it against the palm of his fist, pointed it at Angel again, and then just glared at it while he scanned and listened. The words felt like vomit at the back of Angel's throat. "I killed a lot of people," he finally muttered. "So have I." Angel's eyes bugged out, his jaw ajar as he sought a reply. "Well, did you enjoy it?" The doctor straightened down his back, looking Angel in the eye. "No. Did you?" "Yes," said Angel. Rose recoiled from the horror in this admission. The doctor rolled his eyes. "No, you didn't. Why are you surrounded in an energy field?" "Huh?" Angel tilted his head. "Sociopaths don't regret afterwards. They justify. You're in agony. And also surrounded by an energy field." He adjusted the screwdriver. "Really? More of a cage. I'd say that's what's keeping you animated, you know, in lieu of aerobic respiration and a heartbeat. But those other vampires didn't have one. Well, not one like this. So what is it?" "It's a soul." The sound of Buffy's voice made Angel flinch and Rose jump. The doctor just quirked an eyebrow as Buffy emerged from the mansion. "That's what makes him different than other vampires. It's a cage keeping the soul in." "A soul?" The doctor screwed up his face, but Buffy just nodded, and the doctor scowled. After a moment of chewing the inside of his cheek, he eyed both Buffy and Angel. "Cages have doors." "Doors have locks," replied Buffy. "Locks of keys," countered the doctor. Buffy gave a small smile. "Yeah." She took Angel's hand in hers. The doctor nodded, and Rose wondered what he'd understood. She found herself inching closer to him as he grinned and whispered to Buffy, "Keep it," while the rest of the gang filtered into the garden. Buffy looked back at them. "We're all settled here." Thin lips among certain members of the Scoobies belied this, but Buffy continued anyway. "We just wanted to thank you for all of your help again. Thanks."
She gave the doctor a hug while he gasped, and then hugged back. After she let go, Willow gave him a much gentler squeeze. He was nearly taken aback by Cordelia's embrace, but when he saw how much Rose appreciated Xander's, he held Cordelia a few seconds extra. Buffy and Rose hugged, while handshakes exchanged among the rest. Rose and the doctor stood by the TARDIS doors, framed by jasmine. "So, back to saving the world, keeping the demons at bay, and passing your literature classes?"
"It's worked for us so far," said Oz.
"Well, the literature thing," started Xander, but Cordelia pushed a discreet heel on his foot, and he stopped.
"Where are you two off to?" asked Willow.
"Oh, could be anywhere," said Rose. "Could be ancient Rome, or a distant planet, or even a spaceship." She grinned as Xander and Willow's eyes lit up. The doctor pushed the doors open. "Let us know if you ever fancy a trip." Now their eyes were like saucers. Even Oz had to stop himself from taking a step forward. Giles cleared his throat. "Graduation first," he smiled. "But in case of demon and alien threats, how do we flag you down?" Stopping, the doctor pulled out his screwdriver. "Any of you have a mobile?" A field of blank stares greeted him. "A mobile? Oh, hell, what do you call it in the States? Oh, right, a cell phone. That's the one."
"I've got one."
Cordelia pulled hers out of her purse. Xander poked Giles. "You're still British, right? Aren't you supposed to translate for us?" "I hate those blasted things. And do shut up." Xander folded his arms and nodded to Rose. "He's still British," she grinned. "Here you go. Just dial that number anywhere you are, anytime. We'll get the message." The doctor tossed the phone to Cordelia. "And now, I'm afraid we're off." Rose waved and stepped inside. "Take care of yourselves." "If you don't let the apocalypse happen, we won't either," Willow called back. "Bye." The door shut with a click. Engines whirred, and for a moment Buffy could see the tiny jasmine flowers as a field of stars stretching off forever into the distance. Then the TARDIS was gone. Buffy eyed the phone in Cordelia's hand and tightened her grip on Angel's. "Well, gone for now, anyways." The end. Reader's note. I had such a great time recording this podfic. How Muff High Schools Don't Have Reunions is a crossover between my two favorite shows, and most especially my favorite Doctor Who episode of the, you know, new series. To check out the fan mix for this story, go to rena-jenkins.livejournal.com, and it's under the tag fan mix. Hope you enjoy listening.